podcast.
G'day, Patty and Rob Palmer. This is our podcast for Wednesday, the 29th of March. Had a busy one today, didn't we?
Yeah, well, we got through a few names for our new pet tiger.
Oh, I'm not cuddling it anymore. It was brought in by Daniel from your mind, and I've started itching.
Keep that to yourself, all right?
No, but we chase names for the tiger that is going to be with our mascot, our giraffe, who is Bruce. So we might even name that by Friday. We spoke with Matty Enelzark. He's covering, he covered the
Vissel
Pro,
Pro. Us, and that was on Invoker, and then it was up in Newcastle
Pro. Event. And Joel Vaughan, our local surfer, absolutely blitzed.
Knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Also, be very careful if letting your kids have a shot at you. I'll have to let my son.
Oh, yeah,
in the
yeah,
guts.
What, Griffo?
Oh,
can I try that on you?
No, you cannot.
Okay, fair enough.
Actually, you probably could.
And David Meehan, the member for the entrance, he's been re-elected. First time on this show.
He was excited, too.
Yeah, very much so. That, Rick Hart as well, looking at what's happening with the Gosford waterfront, all happening on our podcast for today, the Wednesday, the 29th of March.
Get away from the tiger. Come on.
Okay.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
It's humid, going to be humid again today. Showers possible, storm, 28.
It? Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Bloody humid. I got home and had to put the air conditioner on. 21
I went out in the rain.
Yeah, I know. In that with the golf with Justin Avendano.
I know. It was good. It was a good afternoon. We got there. We thought, should we do this? And we went, yeah. And just as we arrived in the afternoon, it started to sprinkle in Terrigal.
But then, you've come this far.
Once we were there, we were there.
Yeah, yeah.
And once you commit to getting wet, it's actually okay. So we played golf in the absolute chucking down rain.
Nope.
But
did you wear your waterproof shoes?
Remember yes,
the
I did.
You did. Good boy. Remember the last time we played,
didn't matter.
It rained. Is it something about golf and raining?
Oh, I know. It was good.
Yeah. Look, you can get it on Triple M socials. And also, we're sending something else on our Triple M socials, including Facebook and Instagram, because Daniel from your minor, oh, he's a lovely chap.
Oh, yeah,
He rang last week. He's Irish, if you wouldn't think. He was not a pirate. He's Irish.
he rang and he had a tiger.
And he said, I've got this bloody beautiful tiger, because we got Bruce, our giraffe. He noticed in one of our videos. That
I did not know the giraffe's name was Bruce.
Nor did I till this morning when we asked our producer, Chloe.
Yeah.
And so yesterday, Daniel dropped in this just tiger, just phenomenal looking tiger, just lying down.
Stuffed.
Like he's in the jungle. You'd think it was real. I thought it was real.
If there were trees around its face, you'd get scared, wouldn't you?
Oh, I thought, geez, bloody hell, someone's put a tiger in the studio for us this morning just to wake us up. But anyway, so Bruce has given us this to go. Oh, sorry, Daniel has given us this to match Bruce.
To hang out with Bruce in the studio.
So
he needs a name, though.
Yeah, we need a name. So if you can go to any of our socials. And or you can give us a text 0482 08
1077
or give us a call.
Or just call us 133 533.
Okay, let us know.
Name the tiger.
Yeah,
it's parked in the studio now forever.
Coming up, we want to look at Steve Smith, Australian cricket player. We've got he's gone to the Rob Palmer School of voiceover work.
There you are.
After Matchbox 20,
mongrel.
Triple M.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
A few things before we speak to Daniel from your minor, who gave us the tiger for the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I text Adam Crouch yesterday, the incumbent for the seat of Terrigal. It still hasn't been decided. So, and I said, how's it going? He said, he was 240 votes ahead yesterday. The postal votes and absentees won't be counted until Saturday. So two-party preferred.
Still more to go.
Still, yeah. So it's still undecided, the seat of Terrigal, after the state election on Saturday. So too close to call, Robert. Too close to call.
Gee, wouldn't you feel if you were popping corks? Oh,
Yeah. So they went a bit early. It still could happen. We just do not know.
It could happen.
We've got David Meehan, who was re-elected for the seat of the entrance later on.
Poetic justice says it shouldn't.
What about this? The Dolphins, West Tigers and Parramatta have emerged as the most popular, the potent threat to Canberra's hopes of keeping Jack Whiten, because he dropped a bombshell with the Raiders, informing the club he's placing himself on the open market for the first time in 14 years. So he just said, don't want to be here. Why would you want to be in Canberra? Canberra.
Well, that's...
It's not a bad place, but
14 years.
God, give me the anyway. So they reckon,
is Jack Whiten a local kid, Canberra kid?
He joined the Raiders as a teenager.
And that was it?
But, oh, look, I mean, don't mind Canberra. To cricket, Steve Smith. Now, he's gone to Rob Palmer's School of Radio, and he's announced his return to the IPL, right?
It was a video.
Yeah, but he still used the Rob Palmer Radio School to announce it, and it's racked up about 1.1 million views across social media, and this was Smithy's announcement. Just have a listen.
Namaste, India. I've got some exciting news for you. I'm joining IPL 2023. Yes, that's right. I'm joining an exceptional and passionate team in India.
Honey, beautiful.
You know what? The audio doesn't do it justice.
No.
You need to see.
He didn't blink once. And the former West Coast Eagles player, Will Schofield, tweeted, "Blink twice if you need help, Steve." Another tweet read, "Most advanced robot I've ever seen. I hope it brings some spare batteries with it in case it runs out of energy in India." Oh, that's facetious, isn't it?
You are mean. I am just reading.
Get off his shoulders. I am just reading what they say online, pal.
He's a cricketer.
Yeah, I know. No. I'm just reading what they say. Don't shoot the messenger.
I've got to say, I did laugh when I first saw it.
We said we got a tiger in the studio. We put it on our socials. We want a name for the tiger. Daniel from your minor gave it to us, this stuffed tiger. Brilliant. G'day, Daniel.
Daniel.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Oh, mate, we are.
We're thrilled to bits.
Absolutely.
Happy Wednesday, as they say, eh?
Oh, happy Wednesday to you. You know what? We put it on social. We've done a video this morning. We want a name for the tiger. And Aaron from Canwell called the tiger Joe after Joe Exotic off the Tiger King.
Oh, that's a good start.
Oh, yeah. Mate, what did you call this tiger that you brought in?
So I used to call him Bosco. But as I say, everybody's got different names for animals and stuff.
Why did you call him Bosco?
No, Bosco.
Oh. Bosco.
Oh, sorry, just misunderstood there. Bosco. Why Bosco?
I don't know.
Sounds good.
Okay, I'm just asking the questions.
It's like an old name. It's always been sunk in my head, you know.
Yeah, Bosco. Okay. Yeah. Bosco. I do like Joe after the Tiger King.
Better than Majestic.
Oh, I called it Majestic. Shut your mouth.
Paddy Gerrard's. Sorry, go on.
If you know what I mean, Joe's not a hard name. Joe's like a soft name. Joe's like a name you'd call your mate or your work buddy.
Yeah, yes, it's not a hard name. I called it Majestic, and that is because that's what it is.
Paddy Gerrard's dead set falling in love with this tiger. He's there holding it by its cheeks, going, "Why would anybody harm a tiger
Why would they want to harm tigers in their natural state?" I say. Anyway,
you listen, boys. I knew you would like it. It's a piece, you know. If you know what I mean, it was just sitting in my house, just sitting, chilling, and it deserves to be somewhere else.
Oh, well, it is
a stuffed tiger. It doesn't, I mean, it's not a stuffed tiger. It's a, what do you call
stuffed
it?
Toy.
Stuffed toy. Not a stuffed tiger, because that would be cruel.
Yeah, but.
But they do just sit there.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing else to do with it. But
he's
beautiful.
Yeah. Well, Daniel.
See me, guys. So I'm a collector, right? I'm a collector of figurines.
Oh, here we go.
I've got Star Wars, I've got Superman, I've got all the Star Wars guys, but they're all the big ones, they're not the small ones. I've got the Millennium Falcon, the AT-AT, I've got the X-Wing, I've got Predator. Oh,
that'd be worth a fortune, mate. Go online, have a look, they're worth a fortune.
And you're still married?
Dude, you want to see, it's actually taken over the room, which is normal, because there's so many of them. I've got them in the cupboard. I've got a crazy Star Wars figurine that's well over $1,000 on its own. It's crazy.
Well, if you want to drop those in to be friends with Bruce, that's no problem. I might sell them on eBay, but anyway, we'll see how we go. Hey, Daniel, thank you so much. We really appreciate you bringing in the tiger. It looks sensational, and we'll get a name for it before the end of this week.
Not a problem, boy. You have a cracker day, eh?
Good on you, Daniel.
See you, buddy.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
This is the news that doesn't make the news. That should be in the news instead of the other news.
Good morning, Robert.
Morning, Patrick.
What do you got for us?
A hole can really ruin your day, can't it?
Yes, it can.
Well, there's one heck of a hole in the sun. Okay. I've just seen it.
Did I need Star Wars music for this one? It's probably not. It's not sort of a Star Wars thing, is it?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, then.
So I'll continue.
So there's a hole.
There's a hole in the sun.
I thought you said the sun was it'll be big.
It's 20 wow. Earths across.
20 Earths across.
So imagine Earth times 20.
Bang. The sun must be big.
Yeah, it's massive. Yeah. It's not like dangerous for us.
No.
But it could provide some entertainment. They're called coronal holes, and it's basically when there's a lower density in one part of the sun than the rest of it, and they appear every now and again. But this one that's appeared on the equator of the sun is a bit more rare. But what it does, it's blasted out solar wind. The sun's got wind. Mm. And that wind is traveling at 1.8 million miles per hour. That's fast wind.
Wow. All I've got to say.
And then.
Oh, I had something to say on that. Hang on.
Oh.
The force is with you, young Skywalker.
Thank you.
Yep.
So the wind produced by the coronal holes can damage satellites, but thankfully they're not too worried about this one damaging infrastructure, right, saying that it will trigger. You finished? It'll trigger stunning auroras. You know those?
Yep. Yeah.
Like when the sun sky goes.
Ooh, like that.
And this weekend, Saturday, the solar wind is going to hit the world.
Yeah.
So,
oh, it's this weekend.
This weekend, it's happening.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you for that.
Look for solar auroras.
Accepted.
Okay. Hang on.
Go on.
I am your father.
So what was happening?
You must be bored at home.
I am not.
You
wow, that's happening. That's. Oh, yeah.
Mate, there's a hole in the
all
sun.
All right.
Look, what do you got?
Is this true? There's an Aussie tradie in Byron Bay teaching his construction mates how to do yoga during breaks on the work site.
I thought there was something up about this.
He says they use it to combat stress and fatigue on the job. Now, more men would benefit from the ancient ritual as part of their weekly workouts, and having workplace initiatives like these on sites with tradies is helping shift the stigma that has been attached to yoga. Many guys, not all, believed it would be more suited for females. So is it true? Is that happening on job sites, Central Coast, Newcastle, and in Sydney, that in your breaks?
If you want to do yoga in your break, do yoga in your break.
You don't think it'll catch on?
When I was having breaks at work, I would like to eat.
Oh, a pie and a can of Coke. Yeah, and a finger bun quite often at Smoko.
I'm happy to be a little bit spiritually empty as long as my tummy's full.
You're very spiritually empty.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Surf. Not too bad this afternoon. We're talking to Froth and Phil.
The Savo's
not too bad
at
Savo.
If you can pull out of work early, it's worth a shot, the Savvy.
Not a bad idea if you got Rob Palmer's job. 21.
I was not on the golf course yesterday until after 3:30.
Exactly. Hey, it's a pleasure to have in the studio this morning the council administrator, Rick Hart. He joins us this morning. Morning, Rick. How are you?
Fantastic for Tuesday, Wednesday morning. It just gets like that, doesn't it?
I get like that. Hey, I know on the news with Shawnee Patterson, Rick, we're just talking about the revitalisation of Gosford Waterfront. Mate, where is the council at with that?
Well, where we are at the moment, I authorised the expenditure of about $2.2 million, which was to get the project underway. We hope to be able to get that back from the promise that the Labor government made, giving us $8.5 million, which was our initial ask from both sides of politics, to actually cover a lot of the environmental works, looking at how the road intersections will work, how we actually get across and bridge the highway there. So that sort of work. So now that we've got a Labor government in power, I'm sure they will honour their $8.5 million, and that will get the whole project underway. Now, that gets the business case sorted out. Once the business case is sorted out, then we're in a very strong position to be able to go to the state government, the new Labor government, and get them through TCorp and the other government banking institutions to actually fund the major infrastructure there to take place. So that's what we're hoping will happen. And talking to the local Labor members of Parliament, they're very supportive. And I have to say, Adam Crouch was also very supportive, but he was unfortunately unable to get his government to actually promise the money.
Right. Well, speaking of Crouch, he's still too close to call. He's 240 votes ahead at this stage, two-party preferred. And the postals, I don't think, get counted until Saturday. No. So we're still, the seat of Terrigal's still unsure, doubt.
Oh, absolutely, and that'll be right across the state. You know, there's still seven seats that are, too close to call, and the postals, tend to come in quite a lot later before they can get counted because they have to make an allowance for the fact that the post is late sometimes. So they may have been pasted on time but aren't received. So they do make an allowance on time at the electoral office for that to take place. And that and then that way then gets the votes counted. And it won't be till then that we'll actually know the final outcome. But having said that, generally speaking, the postal votes will favour
the incumbent.
Generally speaking.
Oh, there you go. So it's still a year or two at least before someone puts a shovel in the ground, isn't it?
Oh, God, it'll be more than that. Look, being blunt, it's at least a 10-year project, at least. Because by the time you do the environmental work and do the business case, and then you've got to get it through the government. And the new Labor government is, you know, as Chris Minns was on air this morning talking about it, is about prioritising, sorting out cost of living, housing, and some of the other key things that they went to the community with.
And speaking about Gosford's future, or the Central Coast future as well, there's a big information day as well.
Yeah, we've got on the 30th, we've got a day talking about, you know, let's talk Gosford. Now, we're talking about all the projects that are, you know, happening around the Gosford area. We've got a lot of water and sewer works going on, which is basically future-proofing that area for the future in terms of those parts of the business. We've also got Kibble Park, the whole, of, you know, what are we going to do with Kibble Park? I mean, it's the nice, beautiful bit of green space right bang in the centre there. So what are we going to do that? We've got the regional library, which we're talking about, and we've got, obviously, that may entail knocking down the old library. So, again, we'll need to talk to the community about those sort of things that are going to go on. So a lot of stuff's happening. You've got housing strategies. You've got all that stuff that's happening at the same time. So right now, it's our really, really busy time and talking to the community. And, of course, you know, we're just, you know, whilst you get a change of government at the state level, we just go a little bit on hold during this period until we've got know what the new government wants us to do.
And a lot of DAs have been approved for the centre of Gosford when it comes to high rises as well, which is good.
There's a lot of development ready to go, and it's all for those developers, it's all about confidence that something's going to happen, which is why it's so important the signal comes that this waterfront happens, because in our view, that's the trigger to say something is happening in Gosford. We're doing all the other underground work and background stuff from a council point of view. But once that money gets funded, once that big infrastructure gets funded by the state government, then that development will take place. And as you say, there's a lot of towers ready to go.
Yeah, very much so.
A whole heap of cranes in the sky.
It'll be fabulous. It'll be fabulous seeing some cranes in the sky and actually seeing Gosford, you know, coming of age.
Yeah, and which people, like, I mean, it's good for everyone. It's good for everyone. Rick Hart, the administrator from Central Coast Council, thank you very much for dropping in, and hopefully see you next month as well.
I look forward to it.
Good luck, guys. Cheers. Cheers.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
And don't forget, too, you can chip your pet for free at Council's microchipping today. Central Coast Council is encouraging local pet owners to bring their dog or cat to their SoCares-run animal care facilities. That's at Erina and Charm Haven this coming Saturday to have their pets microchipped for free.
Don't kids grow up quick and get massive? Do you just, like, one day they're on your knee, the next day they're lifting you up?
And they're becoming... They're piranhas. They just eat everything.
They just go through it.
Every single thing.
Griff, our 17-year-old, he's now, you know.
Is he massive?
He's huge.
Is he eating like a piranha?
Not like a piranha. He's eating like something that eats a lot. Like, you know.
Well, piranhas eat a lot. They just eat everything.
Do they?
Piranhas.
Yeah, but they're tiny.
Oh, well, yes, but I don't say. What I mean is they just chew it down.
Righto. Well, Griff's 17, turning 18 shortly, and... You know, he loves a bit of gaming, so when he's at home on the weekend, you know, he'll do a fair bit of that. And so I get on the rowing machine to try and keep myself doing something.
Just turn to the side.
Hang on now. Hang on.
How long you been rowing for? Oh, good. Oh, it's working.
Okay.
It's working.
So, and so anyway, I went out and said, mate, you should get on the rower, get a bit fit. And he goes, please, Dad. And I said, yeah, why not? You know, like, just come out and do a couple of Ks and I'll see if you can beat me. And he goes, mate, I would flog you. And I said, yeah, you in a million years you would not beat me. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, he said, have a shot at me. Because he does Taekwondo and he's, you know, they get all their fitness in other places, like at school, training, all that stuff.
Yeah. They're on the
and
go
he goes,
all the time.
Come on then, Dad, have a swing. And he's like right pointing at his stomach.
Yeah.
I said, no, mate, I'm not going to hit you. Please, give me a shot in the gut. So said, no. He goes, come on. I went, all right. And I gave him a quick tap.
Yeah,
and, you know, it was my hand bounced off him. Yeah. And I went, oh, gee, that's – he goes, Dad, if you can't hit me harder than that in the stomach, there's a problem. And I went,
Okay. That's a problem.
So I went a little bit harder. Yeah. He goes, would you give it a go? Anyway, so I gave him a shot in the guts and he just bounced off him and he goes, now your turn. I said, no, son, don't do it. He goes, all right, I'll only go 40%, he said. 40%. All right, okay, 40%. So I'm tensed up, put my hand over the solar plexus of my chest because I didn't want him to go too high or too low. And then he's gone, bang, 40%, nearly buckled me.
Yeah.
And he goes, I said, was that 40%? He goes, oh, yeah.
But you are.
But you know, after that.
Bit of sookie lala.
Yeah, I am a sookie lala. But then I gave him a hug because no matter how big they are or how tough they are, they got to be able to hug their dad. And I said, I love you, Griff.
Yep.
Give your dad a hug.
And always say that.
So important.
Very much
to be able to give your kids a hug and tell them you love them.
All the time. No matter how old they are.
That's
no matter how old they are. Paddy
and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
And do you know how we were talking about, because we got the new tiger in the studio, thank you to Daniel,
yeah,
a stuffed tiger to become friends with Bruce, our giraffe, our station mascot. Anyway, you said the tiger movie, The Life of
The tiger movie, we got a text through from Kylie.
And it was The Life of Pi.
The Life of Pi. The tiger's name was Richard Parker.
Right.
Yeah.
And you said to me, I think it's a true story because it's about a kid in a boat. Is it a true story?
The storyline revolves around two survivors of a shipwreck.
With a tiger.
Who were stranded in the Pacific Ocean for 227 days.
Oh, bull.
One 16-year-old boy named Pi and...
Where'd the tiger come? Was the tiger. The tiger. I should watch that movie.
It's so good.
Okay, all right. If you say
Parker,
so.
Richard Parker. Richard Parker. Oh.
Name. We've had some really good names for our tiger. You can go online. You can see it on our socials. The tiger, really good looking tiger. Yeah, I mean, it's a stuffed tiger. Well, it's not a stuffed tiger. It's a toy. Don't say it's a stuffed tiger. I don't agree with that stuff.
I can't stop thinking of parking tigers. That's a euphemism for firing up, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Parking tiger.
Park a tiger.
I've never heard of that. Never, ever heard
park
of that.
Park a tiger is throwing up. I'm pretty sure.
You sure?
Yeah. 99.
Okay. We'll anyway. Have a look at that. Now, you're going to tell us about this other lad who's raising this money.
Well, this young boy, 13 years old, Max Woosley, known as the boy in the tent. He started sleeping in his garden in March 2020 when he was 10 years old.
Yeah.
He had a family friend and neighbour, Rick Abbott, right, who inspired him to go on a camp out after gifting him his first tent as a 10-year-old. So he pitched a tent in the back garden and he decided to put this adventure towards a good cause. He decided, and just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm. He camped out in his own backyard from the age of 10 to the age of 13, over 1,000 days, living in his tent in the backyard. How much do you reckon he raised?
Look, 500,000. You asked me and I answered.
Like, make it a game.
Lower or 700, higher.
700,000 pounds.
God, which is like 1.4 million.
Yes.
Equivalent to. In the what?
In 3 years. He raised that for the North Devon Hospice. And basically, his work that he's done in his backyard has directly funded 15 nurses for an entire year to help
just
people.
By sleeping in his tent.
Yeah. By sleeping in his backyard, and he just gained so much support and on and on and on and on, and people would just give money to this cause.
So he still used the house facilities, I mean the toilets and showers and all that, but I could imagine.
Well, if you're camping, you still use the amenities, don't you?
Yeah, I'm just asking. And then he slept in the tent at night.
Slept in the tent every night for 3 years
and raised
£700,000.
Wow, that's huge.
For charity.
That is huge.
500 patients benefited from that.
Well done. Yeah, what's his name?
Good on him.
What's his name?
Max Woosley.
Good on you, Maxie.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
I think it was last week when we got back, we spoke to Maddie Enelzark about the Pro Surf series about the Vissel New South Wales Pro, which was on at Avoca Beach on the weekend. They had the City of Newcastle Pro. Maddie joins us again. G'day, Maddie.
Maddie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. It was pretty huge. The World Tour qualification, dramatic final at Merriweather Beach on the weekend, mate.
Yeah, it was a massive weekend down there, well, up there in Newcastle. I kind of got lucky with the waves. Wasn't looking the greatest, but we end up having really fun waves on the Sunday.
And how good? We got a Central Coast surfer claim the biggest win of his career, mate.
Yeah, it's pretty massive for Joel Vaughan, a young 19-year-old, taking out the QS 5000 there in Newcastle. So It's a pretty big feat for Joel. He kind of joins the likes of like Kelly Slater, Joel Parkinson, Mick Fanning. They've all gone on to win that event, so he's in good company.
Wow. So where does he go from here? Like, what does that do for him ranking-wise?
So for Joel, he actually needed a massive result going into that event. He was sitting in 19th spot before that one. That was the last stop of the qualifying series, and he ended up with that win, getting all the way up to fourth spot. So the top eight qualify for the Challenger Series, which will kick off at Snapper Rocks in early May.
Oh, that's on the Gold Coast in May. That's huge, mate, for me.
So, yeah, massive result. From there, I guess he's looking like, well, hopefully he can go on and qualify for the World Tour if he can get a few more results on that Challenger Series. He'll be in good class.
Are you covering that as well, Matty?
Yeah, we will be down there at Narrabeen, yeah. So we'll be setting up at Narrabeen, which will be mid-late May. So that's the New South Wales stop, I guess, of the Challenger Series. And then after that, we'll go overseas.
Hey, and who took out the women's event at the Newcastle Pro?
So it's kind of Sarah Baum. So she's actually kind of Bronte McCauley actually took out that one. Yep. Second there was Sarah Baum. So the WA surfer getting a nice win before she'd actually already qualified for the Challenger Series, so it was kind of some heat practice for her.
And when they qualify for the series, does that mean extra cash for them and all that sort of stuff, Maddie, or what's the go?
Yeah, so there's definitely a bit more prize money up for grabs with the Challenger Series there. So the qualifying ones are all, regional-based. So for the Australian one, it's Australia and Oceania, which is New Zealand's obviously included, but that Newcastle event was co-sanctioned with Asia. So with the Challenger Series, the prize money will go up quite significantly for them, and hopefully they can go on and so then their next stop.
Once the Challenger Series finishes, there'll be a certain number of them that then go into the World Series, and then that's where the big bucks start rolling in.
Yep, that's it. So the top 10 there from the men will go on to the World Tour from the Challenger Series. So, yeah.
Mate, it's a great breeding ground, the Central Coast, when it comes to surfers, isn't it? It's huge.
Yeah, well, actually, Jolly's younger brother, Huey, actually kind of is a micro. He's only about 5 foot, but he actually made the semi-finals too. He put on an impressive display. So, yeah, Central Coast is providing the goods at the moment.
Yeah, they certainly are.
Keep an eye out for that.
In both the men's and the women's. Well, Matty, thanks very much for taking time out covering the Vissel Pro, also the Newcastle Pro. We'll keep in contact and we'll rejoin you for the WSL Challenger Series, buddy.
Sounds good. I'll chat soon, guys.
Okay, thanks. Matty Endelzark. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. What's wrong?
I'm going to start streaming the webcam of this studio because you are doing is off the hook. You've fallen in love with a stuffed toy and you're kissing it on the nose. You're hugging it, stroking its paws.
I rub noses.
I rub noses.
And the way it crosses
with a stuffed tiger.
The way it crosses, which was brought in from Daniel by Daniel from your minor, and crosses its paws is the same as what Bear, my dog, does. Reminds me of Bear, my dog. I wish we could call it Bear.
You haven't stopped.
What? One. Bezzy's a toy poodle, though.
Stop stroking the tiger.
Mum's told me that too.
You'll go blind.
We do need a name for it. Where are you, Rob? There you are. We need a name
over
for
here.
It. Over there. Oh, my God. We need a name for it to match with Bruce, our giraffe. You bring that tiger back over We've had some big, good names. I like Balboa. I do like Balboa.
Balboa's not bad.
Yeah.
Oh, but I like Rocky.
Yeah, Rocky.
Because Balboa's a mouthful.
Yeah. What about Joe Exotic? I like that.
Don't put the tiger
on the floor. Get the tiger off the floor. We should get a picture of that.
Elias,
because of Benny Elias.
Yeah.
Okay. Not too bad.
Elias is a tigerish type name. I think.
1-3-5-3 or 0482-08-1077. That's our text line. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the
podcast. Fighting for a better and fairer Central Coast, David Meehan has been the member for the entrance since 2015.
It's a real honour to be re-elected to the state seat of the entrance for the third time. I really want to thank my constituents for doing me the honour, giving me that privilege of representing them in the New South Wales Parliament.
Now chatting with Paddy and Rob Palmer.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, here he comes.
So, David, good morning. How are you?
Thanks so much for having me on, Paddy and Rob. Oh, my God.
I know.
And good morning to your listeners, and thank you for your support. And it's humbling. I mean, the third term and the first time on your show.
Is this the first term?
Oh,
yeah, you
look
go.
At that. It hasn't been. See, it hasn't been. Holy.
It is.
Is it really?
Yeah.
God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, I did this all on my own.
Oh, seriously? Because I think I know the last time I said, geez, he swears a lot, and I don't know whether we can have him on. No. That was only a joke.
I did get in trouble for that once, but I tried.
Did you?
I tried to clean up my game.
Oh. Well, listen, after the weekend's result, it was a massive, what did you get, 58.45%. That was two-party preferred. That's a whopping win. For you and all the supporters at the entrance.
No, look, I'm really happy with the result, and I do want to thank my supporters. We weren't a targeted seat for support from head office, and that's sort of something that happens. They were targeting seats in Sydney that they wanted to win, so we were pretty much left on our own up here, and I'm really, really happy with the support I got from volunteers and from my community, and it's one of the highest results for Labor in the seat of the entrance.
Okay, Dave, you've got another 4 years. Now, what are the projects, some of the projects you'd like to see implemented for the seat of the entrance or the electorate?
Well, look, you know, we made some promises during the campaign, and one of the big ones in terms of money was to continue work on the Pacific Highway from Lisarow, where there's some building works going on now, and connecting that up to Mans Road, West Gosford. So we've committed money to do the detailed design on that. The previous government had pretty much stopped work on that some time ago. But more importantly, Long Jetty Hospital. I really want to work with Central Coast Health to make that into a facility that the community can get more use out of. They want to do that. That's going to take a bit of money at some point, but that's really important because if we can get Long Jetty Hospital to do more, that'll take pressure off our emergency departments, and that'd be a good thing for the whole community.
Yeah, healthcare's got to be a real focus it's everywhere. People struggling to get to doctors and hospitals aren't coping. How do you manage that?
Well, look, local health district reckon that if they get employed general practitioners into Long Jetty Hospital, they can take a whole bunch of people out of the emergency department because they can be seen at Long Jetty instead. So that's a project they think is doable, and it's sort of working its way through the system at the moment. And now with a new health minister sworn in yesterday, that's one of the big ones that I really want to push along on the Central Coast.
Well, mate, if there's anything happening in the electorate of the entrance and you want to have a chat about it, get the message across.
Without swearing.
But with trumpets, we love the trumpets.
Oh, that's right. And we're going to blimp in the sky too.
Mate, give us a call. End stage, David. Let us know.
No, thanks so much, and good morning to your listeners. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, well done, David. David Meehan, he's been re-selected for the... Thanks, David.
Thanks, bye.
See you, mate, bye.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Subscribe now, and you'll never miss an episode.